Well, good evening, church family, and please turn in your Bible now to the second letter of the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians, in 2 Thessalonians, and just a reading there. I'd like to add my personal thanks to our musicians for the wonderful playing and for the wonderful choice of hymns and spiritual songs. Praise the Lord. Could just go on all evening praising God when it's like this. Isn't it wonderful? Well, our theme this evening, the King is coming. And in 2 Thessalonians, we have a letter that has largely to do with the second coming of our Lord. And so let's look at chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians as we launch into our ministry this evening. Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love of every one of you has for each other is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you, and give relief to those to you who are troubled, and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you, because you believed our testimony to you. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. We praise this so that the name of the Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Just so far, and may God bless his word to us this evening. I don't know if you've heard or if you remember the story of the little girl who was returning home from nursery school at midday, and as she passed the village clock, it began to chime out the noon hour, and as was her habit, she counted the chimes after each one. And so she was counting on this particular day, 6, 7, 8, 9, but something had happened with the mechanism of the clock, and it just carried on chiming. So she carried on counting, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. And she took off as fast as her little legs could carry her, and she burst into her front door, and she said, "Mommy, Mommy, it's never been so late before." And you know, as we look at the circumstances of our life, and as we look around us at what's happening in our world, what's happening among the nations of the world, and as we begin to measure what is happening in the world in this 21st century, against what the prophetic word says in our Bibles, we cannot help but come to the conclusion that it has never been so late before. And so today's generation may well be the terminal generation on planet Earth as we know it, because one of these days the Lord Jesus is going to return a second time just as surely as he came the first time. What a contrast it will be. When he came the first time, he came as a little baby, placed in a manger, in a stable. It all seemed so insignificant, so rustic, and so earthy. When he comes the second time, he will come in clouds of glory and in great splendor, and he will come to reign forever and ever. Now, nobody knows the day or the time, and Jesus made that very clear. But he does give us in these passages that we've read this evening some very definite signs that indicate that the coming of the Lord Jesus is not far away. For example, you'd have noticed from our readings, and particularly the one in Matthew's Gospel, where we were read from chapter 24, there will be the occurrence of world-impacting disasters. Now, there have always been disasters in the world. There have always been wars. There have always been famines. There's always been earthquakes. And there have always been natural disasters. But those who study these and who study the time sequence and the magnitude and so on have certainly concluded, and I think it's very easy to agree with them, that the consistency and the intensity and the magnitude of the events that are taking place in the world today are of a nature that we have never experienced before in terms of their regularity and magnitude. The occurrence of world-impacting disasters are clearly foretold in Scripture, and the indication is they will become more close together and more intense. And then we read also in what Jesus said here in his dissertation about the end times, that there'll not only be world-impacting disasters, but there'll be church-impacting deserters. And this I find intensely chilling personally, where Jesus says that opposition and persecution and worldly cares will cause the love of many to grow cold, and that many will turn away from the faith. And today there are so many who have had such a superficial, nominal kind of Christianity that there is almost a wholesale turning away from the faith in many quarters. Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes again, will he find faith on the earth? The occurrence of world-impacting disasters, they're happening every week, if not every day. Church-impacting deserters, how sad it is to see people who once testified of a real Christianity or a real Christian experience turning their backs on the Lord and on the church. And then the rise of a nation-impacting dictator. Read that to you just a moment ago from Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians. There will be a dictator, likely in the Middle East, the Antichrist. Anti means in opposition to. In other words, a false Messiah who's like some of the Roman emperors of the first century will actually proclaim himself to be God. There are verses in the Bible that say that this beast of a man and his religious colleague, the false prophet, will set up a totalitarian system in which only those who toe the party line will be able to trade, and a time of unparalleled, unprecedented distress will come upon the whole earth. There will be a plethora of false prophets, supernatural displays of occult power as they try to deceive even the elect. that is even genuine believers in Jesus. And though there will be plenty of rumors, Christ will not yet have come, and believers will not yet have gone. A great multitude of believers will be martyred. A great time of tribulation will call for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints. Revelation 14:9-12. Fortunately, the crisis will not be too long, and then this fourth sign will occur that we read about, a global impacting darkness. In chapter 24 of Matthew's Gospel, and verses 29-31, there we read this evening that immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. And at that time, the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn because of him. One Bible commentator says here, and I quote, "All natural sources of light will be extinguished. Sun, moon, and stars will be shaken out of their orbits. As in a theater when the house lights are turned off, it is the signal that the drama is about to begin, so the pitch dark sky will be filled with brilliant light until the Son of God will return. Unbelievers will be filled with grief. Faithful believers who have died will rise with resurrected and glorified and immortal bodies. Believers still on the earth will undergo a similar instant change, and they will be caught up to meet the Lord in clouds of indescribable glory." When will it be? Well, quite possibly, it would be during the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles one year. You see, when Christ came the first time, he was right on time, and he fulfilled the Jewish festivals of Passover and the Atonement and unleavened bread and first fruits demonstrated in his resurrection. And then the festival of Pentecost was fulfilled. And when Jesus comes again, perhaps then the Hebrew festival of Tabernacles will finally be fulfilled and consummated. The trumpet of God will sound, indicated and foretold in the Feast of Trumpets, and the Lord Jesus will come again, only this time he will tabernacle permanently among his people. He will be forever the groom, married to the bride, the church. Why is Jesus going to return to earth? Well, for several reasons, Jesus is going to return. First of all, he's going to return to complete his church, his bride. In 1 John 3:2, we're told that when he comes, we shall see him and we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. Hebrews 9:28, in our exposition of Hebrews, we saw that he is going to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Well, those of us who are Christians, we have been saved, and we are being saved. But when Jesus comes again, that salvation will be consummated, and we will be glorified with him, and he will reign forever and ever. He is coming to complete his bride, and to receive his bride, and to reign with his bride forever and ever. Not only that, but he's coming to convert and complete his ancient people, the Jews. There will, in fulfillment of prophecy and the word of God, be a renewing of the Jewish people. A remnant of Jews will acknowledge Yeshua, Jesus, as the Messiah, and in the terms that the Apostle Paul uses in Romans 9-11, the natural olive branch will be grafted back in. And so, this one who is still the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will bring a remnant of believing Jewish people into the eternal covenant relationship that he has provided for them in Yeshua, Jesus, his son. The revelation shows a complete number and representation of all the tribes of Israel who will be supernaturally preserved by God, even in a time of great suffering and tribulation. And we will be one people of God, living under one covenant. Jesus will come to complete the church. Jesus will come, and there will be a wonderful conversion of numbers of Jewish people who will turn to Jesus, their Messiah and their Lord. And Jesus will come, praise God, to conquer the devil. We live in a battle zone. We walk in a war zone day by day as followers of Jesus. Evil is not an abstract object with an independent existence. God didn't create evil. He created beings. He created beings both in heaven and he created beings on earth. Beings who are capable of becoming evil by their own free choice. And this resulted in evil angels and evil humans in that order. And between them, they're responsible for all the evils in nature and in history. And the leader of this rebellion, Satan, was the fallen angel or archangel, whom we now call the devil, who led a third of the angels in his rebellion against God, and we call them demons. The devil is powerful, but he's not all-powerful. But he is so powerful that he's called the God of this world. He is no match for God, and he is no match for the Lord Jesus, who defeated him on the cross. But the final victory over Satan and all his demonic hosts is yet to come, and it will come when Jesus comes again. Hallelujah. Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet, this unholy trio will gather international military forces intent on slaughtering the apparently defenseless-looking people of God. But the return of Jesus will put an end to our enemy. And their biggest blunder will be to seek to turn against Jesus and his people. As we read here in 2 Thessalonians, the coming of the Lord is going to be so amazing that when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels, he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. And this includes you who have believed our testimony. And the revelation speaks to us so clearly of the demise of the devil and all his cohorts, who will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone forever and forever. When Jesus comes, he will complete his church. When Jesus comes, he will receive his bride, the whole Israel of God, Jew and Gentile believers in the Lord Jesus. And when Jesus comes, he will conquer the devil and his demonic hosts. Not only that, when he comes, he will command the world. The King is coming, beloved. King of kings and Lord of lords. His kingdom will have come on earth, and his will then be done on earth as it is in heaven. If the sequence of events in the book of Revelation is chronological, then he will reign on earth with his saints for 1,000 years. All the Hebrew prophets look forward to this time when the Lord will be king over the whole earth, Zechariah 14:9. And when the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, Isaiah 11:9 and Habakkuk 2:14. When every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father, Philippians 2:10 and 11. When in the words engraved in the granite stone outside the United Nations headquarters in New York, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. What a reversal will take place on earth when Jesus comes again. Whether the premillennialists are correct, or the postmillennialists are correct, or the amillennialists are correct, and they all call upon Scripture to support their understandings of the second coming. So they're probably all somewhat correct. But one thing is correct. one thing they all agree on, Jesus is coming again. And when he comes again, we will reign with him forever and forever. As we saw in Paul's word to the Thessalonians, not only will he condemn the devil, not only will he conquer all forms of evil, but he will also condemn the ungodly. And this is certainly a solemn, serious word. Beloved, the injustice of life demands it, and the justice of God demands it. Those who are evil will be dealt with justly by the God of justice. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, our blessed triune God, revealed in the Bible, will not only vindicate his church, the whole world will be judged. All who have rejected Christ will be condemned to a living death in a place called hell, separated from God and everything good. The devil and all his cohorts will be there, tormented body and soul, day and night, forever and ever, in the lake of fire. The Bible calls it the second death. Another book will be opened according to the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the book of life, and all true believers, past, present, and future, who have overcome by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb, will be rewarded with eternal rank and reign. When Jesus comes again, he will consummate the new heavens and the new earth. The whole creation will be redeemed in a cosmic renovation and renewal, and the earth will be the permanent home of all of God's people and the eternal residence of the people's God. Revelation 21:1-4, God himself will dwell with them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there'll be no more pain or crying or death anymore, for all the former things will have passed away, and God will make all things new. This is what will happen when Jesus comes again. What should be our response then as followers of Jesus? Very clearly, the Apostle Paul teaches us that we should be vigilant in our watch. Be alert to the significance of the hour, the Apostle Paul is saying to the Romans. Seize the day. This is your watch, beloved. This is your moment of destiny. Your salvation is nearer now than when you first believed. Are you being vigilant? Because the second coming of Jesus is getting closer all the time. Every day we pitch our tent a day's march closer home. We can almost hear his footfall on the threshold of the door. Are you understanding the present time? Don't allow yourself to lapse into spiritual slumber, as so many are doing today. Are we like the Thessalonians, who are waiting for the Son of God, vigilant in their watch? The King is coming, beloved, and when he comes, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives east of Jerusalem. Are you ready for your first free and glorious flight to meet the Lord in the air? As Christians, we must be vigilant in our watch, and we must be valiant in our worry, because things are going to get worse and worse and worse before Jesus comes. The Bible clearly teaches that. We've read it this evening in these scriptures, and that means we cannot afford to be lackadaisical in our Christian living. We cannot afford to be tardy in our discipleship. We must wage a good warfare. We're not just wrestling against flesh and blood, says the Apostle Paul. We're wrestling against the spiritual forces of evil. We're wrestling against this present darkness. We're wrestling with an enemy who is powerful. We heard that in the mission report as Jinx and Dawn, every now and again, when an African person who's been so spiritual but so steeped in the world of demonic spirits, repents and converts to Jesus and puts their trust in the blood of Christ to cleanse from sin and declares that Jesus Christ is Lord, then demon possession is frequently manifested and has to be dealt with. Beloved, we are in a war zone, and we need to make sure that we're valiant, that every day we're putting on the full armor of God, praising God for the truth in Jesus that is our belt, praising God for the righteousness of Jesus that is our breastplate, praising God for the helmet of salvation that guards our mind and keeps us in the way of the Lord in our thinking and in our behaving. Praising God for the shoes of the gospel, always ready to take the gospel to those who do not know Christ. And having the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the Word the Holy Spirit makes alive in our experience. Every time we need it, the Holy Spirit can quicken to us scriptures that we've memorized and that part of our being become a sword to defeat the enemy. And over all, the shield of faith by which we quench the flaming arrows of the evil one. We are to be vigilant in our watch. We are to be valiant in our warfare. We are to be victorious in our walk. Let us behave decently. Eugene Peterson paraphrases these scriptures in Romans 13:13. We must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence, in dissipation, in bickering, in grabbing everything in sight. These sins were once common in the lives of many of Paul's pagan converts. They were the very things they were saved from. They were not to allow them back into the dark strongholds of the old nature. No Christ follower and no church can ever be strong and fulfill its calling if these sins are in the body of believers. Slay with the Spirit's sword the very thought of sin so that we can walk in victory. And finally, be victorious in our waiting. Paul says, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't even think about how to gratify the sinful nature. The best way to be ready for Christ's return is to be like Christ. To be like Christ in your character. To be like Christ in your service. To be clothed with Christ means to allow Him to dominate and control your whole way of life, your thoughts, your words, your actions. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself and the endless appetites of your old nature every day. And keep on following me. Keep on following me. God helps us to be sensitive to things that will shame us when Jesus comes again, and to deal radically with them. Dress yourselves in Christ and be up and about, continuing the work of Jesus. The King is coming, beloved. Amen. And so may God help us all to be vigilant in our watching for His return, to be valiant in our warfare as we encounter the evil that is in the world and the strategies of the evil one. And God help us to be virtuous in our walk, so that we will walk in the Spirit and be led of the Holy Spirit, be controlled by the Holy Spirit, and walk in the victory that Jesus has won for us, and to so be victorious as we wait for the Lord. The King is coming. Let us pray. Jesus teaches so clearly in His Word that even though we cannot know the exact day or hour in which He will come, we can have very definite indications. And we've looked at some of these this evening. And all the signs of the times are ringing out the fact that the coming of Jesus is imminent. Beloved, when he comes, he will come suddenly. He will come unexpectedly. He says he will come at an hour where most people are not even giving it a thought. And when he comes, it will then be too late to make a decision. And so we have to be ready now. And the only way to be ready now is to give your life in full and glad surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there someone here tonight who is wanting to do that right now? And you'd like to just pray after me, Lord, thank you for speaking to me tonight. Thank you for reminding me that Jesus is coming again. King of kings and Lord of lords. Thank you for this opportunity to put things right. To put things right with you, Lord. To put things right with others. So I pray that you would forgive me. That you would cleanse me from all sin and unrighteousness. I put my trust in you, Lord Jesus, to be my Savior. My Redeemer, my Shepherd, my Friend. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me the power to live for your glory all the days of my life until I meet you face to face. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Lord, help us as your children, help us as a church family to be like shining light in this dark world. And grant, Heavenly Father, that every one of us in this building may be watching, waiting, working, witnessing, warring, walking in the Spirit, so that when Jesus comes again, we'll not shrink back in shame, but they'll be ready, ready to meet the Lord, ready to be welcomed into eternal glory. We ask it in Jesus' name, giving you thanks. Amen. Amen.